This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go with a happy hour. 5:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., idle today. Matt Scraby alongside here. Odyssey Palace Studios, San Diego, California, home of the Padres, who check in at 49-45. A cozy four games over 500, but coming off back-to-back losses to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Boo.
Yeah. Off today, Seattle Mariners coming in tomorrow. We'll talk more about that game tomorrow, beginning at 2 o'clock. Want to go over an article on CBS Sports with the trade deadline coming up. I'm going to give you the top names that are being rumored out there to be traded, and keep it all with a grain of salt, but names that have been mentioned and players that play for teams that are going to be likely to be making some trades. Can
I guess a few?
Yeah, but not yet.
Okay.
Before we get to that, though, I'm doing that because, I mean, the Padres are going to certainly be interested in something in it. You know, with the thing happening with Darvish, I got to believe that a pitcher is on its way.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, though, this is a quick thing. Paul George was, quote, I say quote because he said this, he felt disrespected. Disrespected because the Clippers wouldn't offer him a 3-year, $150 million extension like they gave Kawhi Leonard. They wouldn't offer him a 4-year, $212 million contract if there wasn't a no-trade clause attached. So he said on a podcast today, I never wanted to leave LA, but I just thought it was all kinds of disrespectful. It's a business. So I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You reading me? Can you start over so I can get a clean clip?
So I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Said George, that's crazy. Nah, I'm not signing that. And we work with Tony, so both of us have become much more conditioned to the fact that athletes should make as much money as they possibly can. Hundreds of millions of dollars if they can. The owners have the money to pay them or they wouldn't offer it. But having said that, just go out and make as much as you can without using the words like, I felt disrespected. That was disrespectful. Because frankly, when you're saying a $180 million offer is disrespectful, you're being disrespectful to all the rest of us. That's all I'm saying. I want Paul George to get as much as he can get. Just don't complain that an offer of $180 million is not enough. That I don't like. Right?
No, I
you see what I mean?
I want them to get
the money, but just don't. Let's leave that stuff out. Just
I guess in a
make
context,
the money you got to make and move on and take it, and you know, off you go.
In the context of him talking about it, like he's made it, so to him that's a real thing. Like I could get the super max contract offer.
Yeah.
So I guess I understand what you're saying, But did he? I was it like contact? Do you did you see what he actually said? Like, did you see him say it?
Well, like I'm just reading the quotes. No,
all right.
He said. So I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, you shouldn't say whoa, 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 because...
Nah! I'm not signing that.
The problem is, I don't even think Paul George... Like, to me, Paul George is just a guy. I know he's not.
He's
I know
not.
He's not a guy.
He's so good.
He's good so enough for a Supermax?
Good. He's good. I don't know.
But he's not Supermax good. He's not Jason Tatum good.
Jason Tatum, I have one word for him.
What?
Overrated.
It's easy to say that after a guy who's won a championship.
I also saw somebody with a listing of the best players right now in the NBA. Who would you put at the top of that list? Best player in the NBA right now.
I'm going to say a guy, and I think you're leading me in a direction that's not him, but Ant-Man?
Oh, Ant-Man. All right. I don't think he's quite there yet. I think Jokic is probably the best, but...
I just didn't want to say him.
The answer this was given was Luka Doncic, and I can't stand it when people tell me that somebody is the best NBA player, and that player can't cover my grandmother on defense. I just can't deal with it. I love Doncic. Don't get me wrong. What he does, I'm amazed. I love it, but you cannot... refer to him as the best player in the league when he can't guard anyone. The Boston Celtics won the National Basketball Association championship because they targeted Doncic on defense. That was the difference in the series. You can't be the best player if you can't guard anybody.
That's a good point. You just can't.
It's too big of a part of the game.
You have to be an overall player to be considered the best player.
There you go.
Like Steph Curry, best player.
Okay. He's the most remarkable shooter. There's no arguing that.
The Paul George thing, like we're seeing on the chat, Diesel said Paul George chokes and is injury prone.
Yeah. All right. Everybody chokes and is injury prone unless you win the National Basketball Association title and don't get hurt. Here's some of the names that are going to be traded or likely to be traded. Well, yeah, okay. You want to try to guess
so
all 30?
Guessing? No, I mean, no.
I mean, I got 30 names here.
I'm going to start with Crochet.
Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, he's on the list.
He's on the list. Potential suitors, Orioles, Dodgers, Padres. Go ahead.
Pete Alonso.
Now, see, the list is too lengthy for me to go through and I'll find these guys. Give me a couple more, and then I'll let you know.
Now I'm going blank. Just tell me.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Well, it would have worked, but now my mind isn't working.
It's not going to work this way on this particular game. Garrett Crochet is on here. Tarik Skubal.
Oh, yes.
Detroit.
Had a huge day yesterday.
This guy's in, you know, Cy Young potential. I don't understand why the Tigers would trade him, because if and when the Tigers ever get good again, he would be a part of that.
Well, that's the thing, is that they're never good.
Well, all right. Luis Robert. See, Skubal's going to cost you everything, though.
Yes,
I'm sorry. I don't think the Padres are in for him. Luis Robert.
Will cost you everything.
He'll cost me too much, and is he better than what I have? I have 3 all-star outfielders already.
One of them's hurt, though.
Bo Bichette. Where's he going to go? And I'm not saying these are Padre being all rumored to go to the Padres. I'm just saying names that could be traded. Bichette is not even... a possibility for the Padres. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., same thing. No space. Zach Eflin, Tampa Bay Rays, right-hander. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's not going to move the needle, but he might pitch you a couple of ball games and help you win them.
He'll help you win, yeah, in the late stages.
Mason Miller, Athletics. I don't know.
His market has cooled a bit.
He's cooled a little. Are we better with him or just keeping Estrada in the eighth inning?
No, the A's already said.
Why give up something?
The A's already said they want, like, basically Jackson Merrill for Mason Miller.
Okay.
Not going to happen.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Okay.
I don't think Texas is trading him. They're not giving up yet. Randy Arozarena. Again, I'll go back to my outfield comment. Cody Bellinger. We didn't want him in the first place, did we?
I haven't heard anything about him this year.
Isaac Paredes, Rays.
Is that how you say his name?
I think so.
Oh my gosh, I've been saying it so wrong then forever. Parodies?
Maybe you haven't been saying it wrong forever. Maybe I'm saying it
wrong. We'll look it up later.
Right now. I have time to look it up now.
Isaac Paredes.
I think it's Paredes.
Oh, really?
Paredes.
Paredes.
Yeah, or Paredes. So actually, I wasn't right either.
Paredes, you're
Paredes.
Right.
Paredes, yeah. Anyway, I don't want him. I got a third baseman. Ryan McMahon, same. Got a third baseman. Jazz Chisholm. Marlins.
Yeah.
He seems like he would draw, I mean, he's a pretty good player, but he would draw away from the, you know, the attention of this team, the chemistry that I like.
He has low VAR, vibes above replacement.
Is that right?
Yes, he has low VAR.
Not fan. Jack Flaherty. Finally,
see, that's the other one, yeah.
Finally bounced back to having a nice year, but he's had too many bad years. And he's still injury. He's still, no. Eric Fetty, White Sox. We got guys better than him already. Jose Soriano, Angels, throws 99 miles an hour. So what?
So can Robert Suarez.
Carlos Estevez, Angels reliever. He's no better than a seventh inning guy. I'm not giving up anything for him.
But can't you get relievers for cheaper? Like, maybe the relievers are the way the Padres go here.
They need a starter. They're going to need a starter.
Tyler Anderson, Wesley is saying on the
chat. Are you going with Adam Major the rest of the way?
No, I've told you. I am concerned every time
so
he takes them out.
Yeah. Elias Diaz, Rockies. He won the All-Star Game MVP last year, if that's what you're after.
I am. So he should be on the team.
Okay, he should be on the Padres. Michael Kopech, White Sox. He can't get anybody out. I mean, this guy stinks.
Okay, I got a name from the chat. Kirby Yates.
Okay, I might get to him.
Oh.
Taylor Ward, outfield, Angels. Brent Rooker. We already tried him. Tommy Pham.
Oh, man, that name will never go away.
Here's another guy we already tried, but he's pretty good. He's been good this year, I'm telling you. Cal Quantrill.
Oh, I like Cal Quantrill.
And you could probably get him for not much. The Rockies are pretty stupid.
Yeah,
they don't know what's, you know, what's value.
You're like, this is a rock? Deal.
Hey, call Dick Monfort and tell him, you know, you got a coupon to, you know, 1 month's worth of free food at Roberto's.
King Supers is their supermarket
King
in Colorado.
Supers.
I'm going to go, man.
I love that name. Austin Gomber, Rockies, not as good as Cal Quantrill. Tyler Anderson, there. Somebody brought him up.
Yep, Wesley
Potential
did.
Suitors, Giants, Astros, Padres. There you go. I'll tell you, Anderson's been good, and he's pitched in this division and been good before for the Dodgers and the Colorado.
Well, didn't the Padres just see him, and he did a pretty good job against
them? He's been lights out all year. Done a nice job, Anderson. Lucas Urseg.
He's the setup guy for the A's.
He's the setup guy for Mason Miller in Oakland. Tanner Scott, reliever, Marlins.
I don't know. We need a reliever.
Kirby Yates.
There you go.
Reliever, Rangers. Here's another one that we tried already. Josh Bell. It's so funny. These names just come around every year, you know?
These guys just keep getting traded.
Just keep on getting traded.
They can't put down any roots anywhere.
Right. You wonder why some of these guys actually say, hey, I really want a no-trade clause because I'm just tired of this.
I'm tired of it.
Paul DeJong is the last guy on the list. He's having a nice breakback season with the White Sox. But here's my thing about getting guys from the White Sox. And that includes Crochet, who I know people are kind of into.
What about Steven Wilson?
He didn't make this particular list.
All right.
Garrett Crochet. Here's my thing about getting guys from the White Sox. Doesn't mean it'll happen. But all year long, Garrett Crochet has been pitching with nothing at stake. Nothing. The White Sox suck. They're in last place.
You're kind of right.
They can lose every game. No one will care.
Yeah. You pitch great. That's great.
And if you pitch great, terrific. You get, you know, a little extra A1 sauce on your steak. But then you trade him to the Padres, and now every game he's pitching means the world.
It changes. His season outlook changes
that
real quick.
That worries me.
That's a good
and
point. I never thought about it like that.
I understand that almost everybody you would acquire at the trade line comes from a team that's not in contention. But a lot of the guys that aren't in contention have at least been in contention before. Garrett Crochet is really a concern to me. If he comes here, I'll root for him, of course. But the innings worries me, and the fact that he's been pitching with no stress at all worries me.
That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that, but you're right. I mean, you go from just who cares what you guys do.
Yeah, now all of a sudden the game matters.
You better win or else.
Yeah.
What about Nabil Crismat? He's in the minor league system.
You want to be interviewed by Sammy Leavitt after the game? You better win this one.
Yeah, that's a big interview.
Not everybody gets to do Sammy.
Did you see Sammy creeping on the field before the Manny Machado interview?
He was trying to stay out of the way.
He was. What about the kid who? On Twitter, I put the kid who ran up to Manny with his phone after
what was that? The Yankee jersey guy who got tackled by Jim, the security guard.
Well, the security guard did a pretty good tackle.
I don't know if it was Jim, but it was one of those security guards, and it was an excellent tackle.
I said jokingly, but people took it serious that they should make these people go to a jail for one full year to make sure that they don't do something like
two?
This. Oh, you
I got
want
no
more.
Problem with it.
You got more. I get that this kid was excited, but stop running on the field, people. They're going to ruin it for us. We're going to be put way up high, away from the field, so that no one can even access the field. Boom.
All right, I got a funny story when we come back.
I don't know about
it. It's about one of our all-time baseball players who many years ago we weren't really fond of. Wait till you hear what's happened to this guy and what happened to him today. It's a former all-star baseball player, I'll tell you that much, and we used to root against him. You're going to laugh heartily when you hear this next story after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parades.
I think it's Parades.
Oh, really?
Parades.
Parades.
Yeah, or Paredes. So actually, I wasn't right either.
Parades. You're
Parades.
Right.
Parades. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want him. I got a third baseman. Ryan McMahon, same. Got a third baseman. Jazz Chisholm, Marlins.
Yeah.
He seems like he would draw. I mean, he's a pretty good player, but he would draw away from the. You know, the attention of this team, the chemistry that I like.
He has low VAR, vibes above replacement.
Is that right?
Yes, he has low VAR.
Not fan. Jack Flaherty. Finally,
see, that's the other one, yeah.
Finally bounced back to having a nice year, but he's had too many bad years. And he's still injury. He's still no. Eric Fetty, White Sox. We got guys better than him already. Jose Soriano, Angels. Throws 99 miles an hour.
So what?
So can Robert Suarez.
Carlos Estevez, Angels reliever. He's no better than a seventh inning guy. I'm not giving up anything for him.
But can't you get relievers for cheaper? Like, maybe the relievers are the way the Padres go here.
They need a starter. They're going to need a starter.
Tyler Anderson Wesley is saying on the
chat. Are you going with Adam Major the rest of the way?
No, I've told you. I am concerned every time
so
he takes the mound.
They need a starter, yeah. Elias Diaz, Rockies. He won the All-Star Game MVP last year, if that's what you're after.
I am. So he should be on the team.
Okay, he should be on the Padres. Michael Kopech, White Sox. He can't get anybody out. I mean, this guy stinks.
Okay, I got a name from the chat. Kirby Yates.
Okay, I might get to him.
Oh.
Taylor Ward, outfield, Angels. Brent Rooker. We already tried him. Tommy Pham.
Oh, man, that name will never go away.
Here's another guy we already tried, but he's pretty good. He's been good this year, I'm telling you. Cal Quantrill.
Oh, I like Cal Quantrill.
And you could probably get him for not much. The Rockies are pretty stupid.
Yeah,
they don't know what's, you know, what's value.
You're like, this is a rock deal.
Hey, call Dick Monfort and tell him, you know, you got a coupon to, you know, 1 month's worth of free food at Roberto's.
King Supers is their supermarket
King
in Colorado.
Supers.
I'm going to go, man.
I love that name. Austin Gomber, Rockies, not as good as Cal Quantrill. Tyler Anderson, there. Somebody brought him up.
Yep. Wesley
potential
did.
Suitors, Giants, Astros, Padres. There you go. I'll tell you, Anderson's been good, and he's pitched in this division and been good before for the Dodgers and the Colorado.
Well, didn't the Padres just see him, and he did a pretty good job against
them? He's been lights out all year. Done a nice job, Anderson. Lucas Urseg. He's the setup guy for Mason Miller in Oakland. Tanner Scott, reliever, Marlins.
I don't know. We need a reliever.
Kirby Yates.
There you go.
Reliever, Rangers. Here's another one that we tried already. Josh Bell. It's so funny. These names just come around every year, you know?
These guys just keep getting traded.
Just keep on getting traded.
They can't put down any roots anywhere.
Right. You wonder why some of these guys actually say, hey, I really want a no-trade clause because I'm just tired of this.
I'm tired of it.
Paul DeJong is the last guy on the list. He's having a nice breakback season with the White Sox. But here's my thing about getting guys from the White Sox. And that includes Crochet, who I know people are kind of into.
What about Steven Wilson?
He didn't make this particular list.
All right.
Garrett Crochet. Here's my thing about getting guys from the White Sox. Doesn't mean it'll happen. But all year long, Garrett Crochet has been pitching with nothing at stake. Nothing. The White Sox suck. They're in last place.
You're kind of right.
They can lose every game. No one will care.
Yeah. You pitch great. That's great.
And if you pitch great, terrific. You get, you know, a little extra A1 sauce on your steak. But then you trade him to the Padres, and now every game he's pitching means the world.
It changes. His season outlook changes
that
real quick.
That worries me.
That's a good
and
point. I never thought about it like that.
I understand that almost everybody you would acquire at the trade line comes from a team that's not in contention. But a lot of the guys that aren't in contention have at least been in contention before. Garrett Crochet is really a concern to me. If he comes here, I'll root for him, of course. But the innings worries me, and the fact that he's been pitching with no stress at all worries me.
That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that, but you're right. I mean, you go from just who cares what you guys do.
Yeah, now all of a sudden the game matters.
You better win or else.
Yeah.
What about Nabil Crismat? He's in the minor league system.
You want to be interviewed by Sammy Leavitt after the game? You better win this one.
That's a big interview.
Just gets to do Sammy.
Did you see Sammy creeping on the field before the Manny Machado interview?
He was trying to stay out of the way.
He was. What about the kid who... on Twitter, I put the kid who ran up to Manny with his phone after the...
What was that? The Yankee jersey guy who got tackled by Jim, the security guard?
Well, the security guard did a pretty good tackle.
I don't know if it was Jim, but it was one of those security guards, and it was an excellent tackle.
I said jokingly, but people took it serious, that they should make these people go to a jail for one full year to make sure that they don't do something like
two?
This. Oh, you
I got
want
no
more?
Problem with it.
You got more. I get that this kid was excited, but Stop running on the field, people. They're going to ruin it for us. We're going to be put way up high, away from the field, so that no one can even access the field. Boom.
All right. I got a funny story when we come back.
I don't know about
it. It's about one of our all-time baseball players who many years ago we weren't really fond of. Wait till you hear what's happened to this guy and what happened to him today. It's a former all-star baseball player, I'll tell you that much, and we used to root against him. You're going to laugh heartily when you hear this next story after traffic. Games might be a little heavy for Anthony Rendon.
Well, this was his way of playing a shorter season, was hitting the IL. He did have an actual injury, so.
Seems to do it every year.
I think he actually partially tore his hamstring, which sounds awful, to be honest. All right.
Let's get to our interview earlier today. This is informative, actually sports-oriented interview.
Yes, stay with us.
With Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. I have a recommendation for everybody. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Idol. Today, back tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Scraby's here as well. He's coming up on the Scraby Chronicles at 6 o'clock.
Get ready for a Paul Skeens media rant. And you just heard why.
Are you going on for the whole hour, or are you going to bring anything else to the table?
I'll bring other stuff to the table, okay. But...
Here's a suggestion, a recommendation.
Okay.
MLB Network, here for the last, 45 minutes to an hour, Scrape?
I think more.
Longer. Has been carrying the Willie Mays ceremony up at, Oracle Park?
Yep.
It looks amazing. We have the sound down, so yeah. I don't know what everybody's saying. But, you know, in the passing of Willie, I mean, you know, President Clinton's been up there. I'm trying to put these all in the same category. Joe Torre's been up there.
I got to know why Clinton was there.
Well, Willie Mays is a national treasure, I think.
But
I
don't know, Willie Mays didn't even play while he was president.
Well, all right. With all due respect, I don't know that we can resurrect any of the presidents who were there when he was playing.
Good point.
Supposed to get Woodrow Wilson out here?
I love that you pulled Woodrow.
What do you want me to do? Clinton was pretty much our only option.
What about Taft?
Yeah, Taft would have been a tough get as well. Anyway, I'm just recommending if you get a chance to watch some of the clips of it. It looks like it's really been an amazing ceremony and a who's who of obviously the baseball world and beyond to recognize the great Willie Mays. All right, 5:37 is the time. We're going to check some traffic. When we come back from that, we'll have an interview that Scraby and I did just a little bit ago with the outstanding and excellent Matt Snyder of CBS Sports, talking everything baseball. All right, one of our favorite interviews on this program, talking baseball, is Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. And I say that because he just so happens to be on the air right now. I don't say that only because he's on the air. I also say it because I really do like chatting with him about the national pastime. Matt, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm great. About a week until I'll be headed to the All-Star game, so good times.
Always nice. Fun. The All-Star game, yeah, I think, you know, that's the part we don't get. It's just how much fun it is for everybody to go, be there, the event. I know teams, you know, front office people don't get a chance to see each other all year, get to get together at the All-Star game. Is the All-Star game the unofficial place where some of the trade talking begins?
I don't know about that. I've never heard anything like that it's special for that or anything. And I mean, in this day and age, that's why I always think that the winter meetings have gotten to the point where it's kind of worthless, because people talk with technology all the time these days. But I guess it is better to meet face to face. So I suppose it's possible. We've seen deals come together shortly after the All-Star game. Remember Manny Machado to the Dodgers? That was pretty quick. Like, from the Orioles to the Dodgers, that was pretty quick, like right after the All-Star game. So, yeah, I suppose it's possible. I'd never even really thought about that before.
Yeah. I think we always think about this time of year, once the All-Star selections are announced, are some of the snubs. And you wrote about that today in CBSSports.com. One thing you didn't have to mention in your article was any Padres getting snubbed. We got everybody and then some to the All-Star game. Were you a little surprised that the Padres ended up with five? I mean, we're kind of in the same neck of the woods as the Phillies and Dodgers with that.
Yeah, Not really, because if you look at the individuals who all made it, they're all worthy. So it's not like anybody is kind of out of whack and they don't deserve to make it. It just so happens that they're a pretty top-heavy team this year. And you know, even if you lumped in players that are generally all-star caliber, like Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, there's a lot of star power on that team. It's just kind of thin. I didn't think, like I said, I thought they all deserved to make it. So, you know, I didn't have a problem with it at all.
Even Arise, because I've seen some, maybe it's the analytic people who want to pick on Arise because he, you know, doesn't put the power type numbers.
Yeah.
I love to watch this guy hit, so I'm happy he's in the All-Star game. But do you think that people who have a gripe, do they have a real gripe or no?
He would be the one where possibly you could argue against that. I'm trying to think of who, like, if Christian Walker should probably be on the team, but I would have Christian Walker before Pete Alonso, for example. I think it makes the team more well-rounded. I'm sure that it's completely driven by batting average, and there are a lot of people who don't like bothering with batting average at this day and age. I still maintain that while it's the third most important raise stat, because it's not as important as on-base percentage, it's not as important as slugging percentage, it's still important. And when the league average isn't down in the 240s and you've got a guy hitting over 300, he's valuable. So I think you can justify it.
Talking to Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com, here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, Jackson Merrill, it was a nice surprise for us all here in San Diego to see him make it to the All-Star team. And it's not like he's just being thrown in because he's a rookie and they need his name out there. What have you – do you think he was, A, deserving of an All-Star spot, and, B, what have you thought of his season so far?
He was definitely deserving. I mean, I think maybe you could make an argument for, like, Brandon Nimmo over him or something, but that's unexciting there. And, you know, I don't think that you should change your criteria or anything to make room for something like this, but I think you've got to give him credit when he'd never played center field before this season and he learned it on the fly in the spring, and then to be in double digits in home runs and stolen bases, that's a well-rounded player right there. So I am perfectly good with him being on the team. Even if he was one of the last guys taken, I like having him there. I think it's a good selection.
Matt, I don't know if you heard, he's the first Padre rookie ever to make the All-Star team.
Ever?
Yeah.
No, I did not hear that.
That is crazy. I thought for sure, I just thought off the top of my head that Benito Santiago, who was a rookie of the year back in the day, had made an All-Star, but apparently not. So,
well,
just a little
didn't he have a long hitting streak? Maybe his hitting streak was after the All-Star break.
It must have been after the All-Star break. Absolutely, yeah.
Because that's one thing that sticks out in my mind as a kid was the long hitting streak, and he was Rookie of the Year. So, yeah, I would have thought that too.
Yeah, yeah. Jackson Merrill's the first. There are 32 guys that are first-time All-Stars overall, and probably a few more will be added, you know, in the days to come. Does that tell us anything? What it tells me is that guys are better sooner than they ever were before.
Yeah, I think so. It probably started back in 2011 with Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado all coming up together and kind of taking the league by force. And then it continued with Ronald Acuna Jr. and Juan Soto at such a young age. And now it continues up through this generation. Guys, like you said, they're better than ever at a younger age. But also there's veterans in there that are first timers, like Seth Lugo, and like age 34, putting it all together. So there are good stories sprinkled throughout in terms of like a broad takeaway, other than the players are better than ever at a younger age. No, not really. It's kind of a coincidence, I think, like I said, because you mix in guys like Lugo who are first timers as veterans, or Jurickson Profar, for example, just putting it all together finally after all these years. We just had a lot of stuff coincidentally happen this season.
It is true. There has been a lot of stuff that's happened. And you just mentioned Jurickson Profar. We're talking to Matt Snyder of CBSSports.com. And I was saying this on Friday. It seems like Jurickson Profar is annoying to everyone except for Padres fans, because it seems like everyone has an issue with something that he does, whether he runs around the bases too slow or he celebrates a walk-off hit too much. What are your thoughts on Profar? Do you think he's kind of annoying?
No, not at all. I'm not a Padres fan, so there you go.
There we go.
I have not heard of this annoyance. No, it's Well, I mean, when he's not running the bases as fast, it's he's protecting from injury.
Thank you.
Yeah. And when the celebration thing is absolutely nonsense because everybody, not everybody, but a lot of guys celebrate. That's weird. No, I think what sums up Profar to me, the way he's put everything together this year, and they've needed him because Machado started slow, Bogarts went down, Tatis is down right now. He had to step up, and he's stepped up and then some. But a perfect illustration for me is that game last week, Wednesday or Thursday. No, I think it was Friday.
When they brought in the bottom of the ninth?
When they brought in Robert Suarez. Yeah, and he gave up the grand slam, and then he gave up that two-run bomb to Randall Grichuk. And then Profar led off the bottom of the ninth with that home run. It's like that was a perfect illustration of what he's meant to this team. It's when everything else goes wrong, there's Profar right there to pick everybody up.
Yeah, I said the same thing about Profar. I don't think he's the MVP of the league, but he's done MVP-type things. You know, yes. those are the kinds of things that happen. Let's go right real quick back to Jackson Merrill. Paul Skenes is a revelation. The fans in San Diego are already mad because they think Jackson Merrill is going to lose the Rookie of the Year to Paul Skenes. I don't know if they'd be right to be mad, but how do you see that, or is it too early to tell? Because Skenes seems like he's almost probably a gimme.
Yeah, it's probably too early to tell because Skenes has only had 10 starts. By the end of the year, you don't know, are the Pirates going to shut him down? Are they going to limit his workload? They were handling him with kid gloves at the start of the year. So it's hard telling how much of a workload he's going to have. But let's say if he ends up around 100 innings, gosh, it's awfully tough for me to give it to a pitcher with only 100 innings, you know?
Oh,
but if he gets up to like 135 to 140, he's probably going to have so much value there that you'd have to give it to him over Merrill. It'll be interesting to see how both play in the second half. And again, how much of workload the Pirates allow Skenes to take on. But Skenes obviously would be the sexy pick. It seems like that's all anybody wants to talk about. And he might start the All-Star game, which would be amazing. He's the first ever guy to be drafted number one overall and then make the All-Star team the very next year. So that's a heck of a story. It's just it's only 10 starts. It's not even 60 innings. So what kind of workload is he going to end up with?
This is why I love Matt. He has everything in perspective. Because
we have a chance for Jackson Merrill to still win because there's people like Matt out there.
Exactly. And I saw this. I got a newsletter every day from a baseball site. And it said Paul Skenes. It was going through all the big things he's done so far this year. And it said struck out Ohtani on 3 pitches over 100 miles an hour. No one talks about the next at bat when Ohtani took him deep for a 2-run shot. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand the Paul Skenes love.
He's 5-0 with a 2-something ERA.
And you know
what?
Doing
okay.
For the Scraby Show, I'm going to go over his run support because he's getting help from the run support as well, Chris.
Okay. All right.
I was curious to see. Obviously, anybody who says that people think WAR is the only stat that matters, that's nonsense. It's just a tool. It's a catch-all. They're in essentially a dead heat in WAR right now. BaseballReference.com's version, Jackson Merrill 2.5 WAR, Paul Skenes is 2.6. So if somebody was looking at that, they're in a dead heat.
All right, real quick, Matt, trade deadline. If you're the Padres, you just had a nice run. You won 12 out of 15 games, but you also just heard that Yu Darvish is on personal leave and may not be back at all. We don't even know. And some of these teams in the wild card are 2-3 games behind. You know, a couple of them are going to make a run. So the Padres probably have to do something, don't they? And if so, you know, would it be a tinker thing, or do you think that they can pull off something big? I mean, AJ Preller, I guess we never know.
He's a mad scientist. So, yeah. If you look at the construction of the roster, you have to be all in. Right. You have to pretty much do whatever you can to make the playoffs and hope that they make a deep playoff run. Otherwise, what are we even doing with all these huge contracts? And you know, I know they traded Juan Soto 1 year away from free agency, but still the rest of the makeup of the roster says win now. Look, we just saw the Diamondbacks make the World Series from 84 wins last year. The Padres team 2 years ago was maddeningly inconsistent and they never got Tatis back and they were waiting all year for that. And they ended up in the NLCS. They know all too well that all you've got to do is make it there and then anything can happen. So I think they've got to be all in. It's just, it's so hard to find the sellers right now. Like, I think that the Blue Jays and Tigers have probably fallen enough down that you can say they're sellers. But, you know, and we see a report about the Rangers, maybe they'll be sellers now. But above them in the American League, the Rays are too close, even though they just traded Savale. That was to make room for Shane Boz. But there's, you know, 9-10 teams in contention. On the National League side, the Cubs have the third worst record after the Marlins and Rockies, who are obvious sellers. But the Cubs are 5.5 out. It's kind of hard to sell when you're 5.5 out. I think the Nationals seemed like they would be a seller, but they're only 5 out. So it's going to be tough because there are teams, let's say the Orioles, for example, if they decide to flex their muscles, they have so much more prospect depth than the Padres do, and they desperately need starting pitching and bullpen help. So it's going to be tough out there.
I think that's kind of what baseball had in mind, you know, by extending the wild card to keep more people in it and keep there from being a bunch of sell-offs in the month of July. Matt, always great talking to you. Enjoy the All-Star game and the festivities next week. And I can never thank you enough for, you know, consistently coming on our show and making time for us. We really do appreciate it. Thanks again, and look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one.
Matt Snyder, getting it done.
Getting her done.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left here, Scrape. What's coming up on the Chronicles, other than you're ripping on Paul Skeens for no apparent fault of his own?
I'm not ripping on him.
You're ripping on the media.
I'm also going to, I just found this article about LeBron James talking about his son, Bronny, and I find it very interesting.
Really?
Because they asked him, how is Bronny handling the nepotism, you know, trash
angle.
Talk? Yes. And he said, Bronny doesn't care, which I think is a good thing for Bronny that he doesn't care. But it's very interesting because LeBron said that in the early part of his career, like his first couple years in the NBA, he had a hard time with trying to make everyone like him. And so he said that his son's much different than he is because he's able to block it out and LeBron wasn't able to block it out. And I think Bronny does have tools like that can help him, like watching his dad go through an entire career and be in front of the media all the time.
You know what I think?
What?
I don't think Bronny James is ever going to play. Like, other than the fact, like, 60-point blowout. He's going to be the 14th guy or 15th guy in the roster, no matter how much LeBron wants that to be different. He's not better than
the other
12 or 13 guys are going to be on that team.
If LeBron is mad that his son is not getting playing time and he doesn't deserve playing time, that's a weird thing to go down. That's a weird route to go down.
Well, I don't think it'll happen, but that's a position LeBron James has put himself in. He asked for this. Right? The Lakers did not scout Bronny James and go, hey, think we've got ourselves a jewel here that no one else will pick.
I mean, he's the most famous 55th overall pick ever.
The Lakers told other teams not to select him. He wouldn't sign. Or the agent did.
Yes,
on draft day.
Yeah, because he would. Yeah, he's not going to sign. He might even go to Australia to play professional basketball.
He would go to the moon if you drafted him. Stupid Bulls got Chris Duarte and 2 second-round picks.
I have no idea who those guys are.
For DeMar DeRozan.
You were just saying to me a couple weeks ago that DeMar DeRozan you didn't think was, like, a franchise changer.
It's worth a whole lot more than what I just said.
That's true.
He's been an all-star, like, 16 times. All right, one of our favorite interviews on this program, talking baseball, is Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. And I say that because he just so happens to be on the air right now. I don't say that only because he's on the air. I also say it because I really do like chatting with him about the national pastime. Matt, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm great. About a week until I'll be headed to the All-Star game, so good times.
Always nice. Fun. The All-Star game, I think, you know, that's the part we don't get. It's just how much fun it is for everybody to go, be there, the event. I know teams, you know, front office people don't get a chance to see each other all year, get to get together at the All-Star game. Is the All-Star game the unofficial place where some of the trade talking begins?
I don't know about that. I've never heard anything like that it's special for that or anything. And I mean, in this day and age, that's why I always think that the winter meetings have gotten to the point where it's kind of worthless, because people talk with technology all the time these days. But I guess it is better to meet face to face. So I suppose it's possible. We've seen deals come together shortly after the All-Star game. Remember Manny Machado to the Dodgers? That was pretty quick. Like, from the Orioles to the Dodgers, that was pretty quick, like right after the All-Star game. So, yeah, I suppose it's possible. I'd never even really thought about that before.
Yeah. I think we always think about this time of year, once the All-Star selections are announced, are some of the snubs. And you wrote about that today in CBSSports.com. One thing you didn't have to mention in your article was any Padres getting snubbed. We got everybody and then some to the All-Star game. Were you a little surprised that the Padres ended up with five? I mean, we're kind of in the same neck of the woods as the Phillies and Dodgers with that.
Yeah, not really, because if you look at the individuals who all made it, they're all worthy. So it's not like anybody is kind of out of whack and they don't deserve to make it. It just so happens that they're a pretty top-heavy team this year. And you know, even if you lumped in players that are generally all-star caliber, like Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, there's a lot of star power on that team. It's just kind of thin. I didn't think, like I said, I thought they all deserved to make it. So, you know, I didn't have a problem with it at all.
Even Arise, because I've seen some, and maybe it's the analytic people who want to pick on Arise because he, you know, doesn't put up the power type numbers.
Yeah.
I love to watch this guy hit, so I'm happy he's in the All-Star game. But do you think that people who have a gripe, do they have a real gripe or no?
He would be the one where possibly you could argue against that. I'm trying to think of who, like, if Christian Walker should probably be on the team, but I would have Christian Walker before Pete Alonso, for example. I think it makes the team more well-rounded. I'm sure that it's completely driven by batting average, and there are a lot of people who don't like bothering with batting average at this day and age. I still maintain that, well, it's the third most important raise stat, because it's not as important as on-base percentage, it's not as important as slugging percentage. It's still important. And when the league average isn't down in the 240s and you've got a guy hitting over 300, he's valuable. So I think you can justify it.
Talking to Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com, here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, Jackson Merrill, it was a nice surprise for us all here in San Diego to see him make it to the All-Star team. And it's not like he's just being thrown in because he's a rookie and they need his name out there. Do you think he was, A, deserving of an All-Star spot, and B, what have you thought of his season so far?
Oh, yeah, he was definitely deserving. I mean, I think maybe you could make an argument for, like, Brandon Nimmo over him or something, but that's unexciting there. And, you know, I don't think that you should change your criteria or anything to make room for something like this, but I think you've got to give him credit when he'd never played center field before this season and he learned it on the fly in the spring, and then to be in double digits in home runs and stolen bases, that's a well-rounded player right there. So I am perfectly good with him being on the team. Even if he was one of the last guys taken, I like having him there. I think it's a good selection.
Matt, I don't know if you heard, he's the first Padre rookie ever to make the All-Star team.
Ever?
Yeah.
No, I did not hear that.
That is crazy. I thought for sure, I just thought off the top of my head that Benito Santiago, who was a rookie of the year back in the day, had made an All-Star, but apparently not. So,
well,
just a little tip.
Didn't he have a long hitting streak? Maybe his hitting streak was after the All-Star
break. It must have been after the All-Star break. Absolutely, yeah.
Because that's one thing that sticks out in my mind as a kid was the long hitting streak, and he was Rookie of the Year. So, yeah, I would have thought that too.
Yeah, yeah. Jackson Merrill's the first. There are 32 guys that are first-time All-Stars overall, and probably a few more will be added, you know, in the days to come. Does that tell us anything? What it tells me is that guys are better sooner than they ever were before.
Yeah, I think so. It probably started back in 2011 with Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado all coming up together and kind of taking the league by force. And then it continued with Ronald Acuna Jr. and Juan Soto at such a young age. And now it continues up through this generation. Guys, like you said, they're better than ever at a younger age. But also there's veterans in there that are first timers, like Seth Lugo, and like age 34, putting it all together. So there are good stories sprinkled throughout in terms of like a broad takeaway. other than the players are better than ever at a younger age, no, not really. It's kind of a coincidence, I think, like I said, because you mix in guys like Lugo, who are first-timers as veterans, or Jurickson and Profar, for example, just putting it all together finally after all these years. We just had a lot of stuff coincidentally happen this season.
It is true. There has been a lot of stuff that's happened. And you just mentioned Jurickson and Profar. We're talking to Matt Snyder of CBSSports.com. And I was saying this on Friday. It seems like Jurickson Profar is annoying to everyone except for Padres fans, because it seems like everyone has an issue with something that he does, whether he runs around the bases too slow or he celebrates a walk-off hit too much. What are your thoughts on Profar? Do you think he's kind of annoying?
No, not at all. I'm not a Padres fan, so there you go.
There we go.
I have not heard of this annoyance, though. When he's not running the bases as fast as he's protecting from injury.
Thank you.
Yeah. And when the celebration thing is absolutely nonsense, because everybody, not everybody, but a lot of guys celebrate. That's weird. No, I think what sums up Profar to me, the way he's put everything together this year, and they've needed him, because Machado started slow, Bogarts went down, Tatis is down right now. He had to step up, and he's stepped up and then some. But a perfect illustration for me is that game last week, Wednesday or Thursday. No, I think it was Friday. When they brought in Robert Suarez. Yeah, and he gave up the grand slam, and then he gave up that two-run bomb to Randall Grichuk, and then Profar led off the bottom of the ninth with that home run. It's like that was a perfect illustration of what he's meant to this team. It's when everything else goes wrong, there's Profar right there to pick everybody up.
Yeah, I said the same thing about Profar. I don't think he's the MVP of the league, but he's done MVP-type things. You know, those are kinds of things that happen. Let's go right real quick back to Jackson Merrill. Paul Skenes is a revelation. The fans in San Diego are already mad because they think Jackson Merrill's going to lose the Rookie of the Year to Paul Skenes. I don't know if they'd be right to be mad, but how do you see that, or is it too early to tell? Because Skenes seems like he's almost
probably
a gimme.
Yeah, it's probably too early to tell, because Skenes has only had 10 starts. By the end of the year, you don't know, are the Pirates going to shut him down? Are they going to limit his workload? They were handling him with kid gloves at the start of the year. So it's hard telling how much of a workload he's going to have. But let's say if he ends up around 100 innings, gosh, it's awfully tough for me to give it to a pitcher with only 100 innings, you know?
Oh,
but if he gets up to like 135 to 140, he's probably going to have so much value there that you'd have to give it to him over Merrill. It'll be interesting to see how both play in the second half. And again, how much workload the Pirates allow Skenes to take on. But Skenes obviously would be the sexy pick. It seems like that's all anybody wants to talk about. And he might start the All-Star game, which would be amazing. He's the first ever guy to be drafted number one overall and then make the All-Star team the very next year. So that's a heck of a story. It's only 10 starts. It's not even 60 innings. So what kind of workload is he going to end up with?
This is why I love Matt. He has everything in perspective. Because
we have a chance for Jackson Merrill to still win, because there's people like Matt out there.
Exactly. And I saw this. I got a newsletter every day from a baseball site. And it said Paul Skenes. It was going through all the big things he's done so far this year. And it said struck out Ohtani on three pitches over 100 miles an hour. No one talks about the next at-bat when Ohtani took him deep for a two-run shot. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand the Paul Skenes love.
He's 5-0 with a 2-something ERA.
And
he's doing okay.
For the Scraby Show, I'm going to go over his run support, because he's getting help from the run support as well, Chris.
Okay. All right.
So I was curious to see. Obviously, anybody who says that people think WAR is the only stat that matters, that's nonsense. It's just a tool. It's a catch-all. They're in essentially a dead heat in WAR right now. BaseballReference.com's version, Jackson Merrill's 2.5 WAR, Paul Skenes is 2.6. So if somebody was looking at that, they're in a dead heat.
All right, real quick, Matt, trade deadline. If you're the Padres, you just had a nice run. You won 12 out of 15 games. But you also just heard that Yu Darvish is on personal leave and may not be back at all. We don't even know. And some of these teams in the wild card are 2-3 games behind. You know, a couple of them are going to make a run. So the Padres probably have to do something, don't they? And if so, You know, would it be a tinker thing, or do you think that they can pull off something big? I mean, AJ Preller, I guess we never know.
He's a mad scientist. So, yeah. if you look at the construction of the roster, you have to be all in, right? You have to pretty much do whatever you can to make the playoffs and hope that they make a deep playoff run. Otherwise, what are we even doing with all these huge contracts? And you know, it's, I know they traded Juan Soto 1 year away from free agency, but still the rest of the makeup of the roster says win now. Look, we just saw the Diamondbacks make the World Series from 84 wins last year. The Padres team 2 years ago was maddeningly inconsistent, and they never got Tatis back, and they were waiting all year for that. And they ended up in the NLCS. They know all too well that all you've got to do is make it there, and then anything can happen. So I think they've got to be all in. It's just, it's so hard to find the sellers right now. Like, I think that the Blue Jays and Tigers have probably fallen enough down that you can say they're sellers. But, you know, and we see a report about the Rangers, maybe they'll be sellers now. But above them in the American League, the Rays are too close, even though they just traded Savale. That was to make room for Shane Boz. But there's, you know, 9-10 teams in contention. On the National League side, the Cubs have the third worst record after the Marlins and Rockies, who are obvious sellers. But the Cubs are 5.5 out. It's kind of hard to sell when you're 5.5 out. I think the Nationals seemed like they would be a seller, but they're only 5 out. It's going to be tough because there are teams. Let's say the Orioles, for example, if they decide to flex their muscles, they have so much more prospect depth than the Padres do, and they desperately need starting pitching and bullpen help. It's going to be tough out there.
I think that's kind of what baseball had in mind, you know, by extending the wild card to keep more people in it and keep there from being a bunch of sell-offs in the month of July. Matt, always great talking to you. Enjoy the All-Star game and the festivities next week. And I can never thank you enough for, you know, consistently coming on our show and making time for us. We really do appreciate it. Thanks again, and look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one.
Matt Snyder, getting it done.
Getting her done.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left here, Scrape. What's coming up on the Chronicles, other than you're ripping on Paul Skeens for no apparent fault of his own?
I'm not ripping on him.
You're ripping on the media.
I'm also going to, I just found this article about LeBron James talking about his son, Bronny, and I find it very interesting.
Really?
Because they asked him, how is Bronny handling the nepotism, you know, trash
angle.
Talk? Yes. And he said, Bronny doesn't care, which I think is a good thing for Bronny that he doesn't care. But it's very interesting because LeBron said that in the early part of his career, like his first couple years in the NBA, he had a hard time with trying to make everyone like him. And so he said that his son's much different than he is because he's able to block it out and LeBron wasn't able to block it out. And I think Bronny does have tools like that can help him, like watching his dad go through an entire career and be in front of the media all the time.
You know what I think?
What?
I don't think Bronny James is ever going to play. Like, other than the fact, like, 60-point blowout. He's going to be the 14th guy or 15th guy in the roster, no matter how much LeBron wants that to be different. He's not better than other 12 or 13 guys are going to be on that team.
If LeBron is mad that his son is not getting playing time and he doesn't deserve playing time, that's a weird thing to go down. That's a weird route to go down.
Well, I don't think it'll happen, but that's a position LeBron James has put himself in. He asked for this. Right? The Lakers did not scout Bronny James and go, hey, think we've got ourselves a jewel here that no one else will pick.
I mean, he's the most famous 55th overall pick ever.
The Lakers told other teams not to select him. He wouldn't sign. Or the agent did.
Yes,
on draft day.
Yeah, because he would. Yeah, he's not going to sign. He might even go to Australia to play professional
basketball.
Right,
he would go to the moon if you drafted him. Stupid Bulls got Chris Duarte and 2 second round picks.
I have no idea who those guys are.
For DeMar DeRozan.
You were just saying to me a couple weeks ago that DeMar DeRozan you didn't think was, like, a franchise changer.
It's worth a whole lot more than what I just said.
That's true.
He's been an all-star, like, 16 times.
And he is his daughter the one that screams?
Yes.
Okay.
You didn't like that. You're upset by that.
I didn't say anything about her. I was just making sure I had the right guy.
Am I correct that the NFL's preseason schedule starts a month from today?
Maybe the Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game's before that.
Really? A month from today?
Hall of Fame game is August 1st. That's way less than a month.
Wow. Time is flying.
Give me a little football.
Da, 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 da.
Give me some Scraby Chronicles. That's next. Gwen and Chris tomorrow at 2. See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.